And she fell in love with serving. And that made the difference. When you and I get lonely and we feel hopeless, we need to what? We need to call somebody. We need to make a difference in somebody else's life. And that's what we're talking about with our lesson today. Thanks, Tim, for passing these out. A fella approached me in a parking lot of our building, and he said, excuse me, sir, is it all right if we park our van out here, old 80 model van, minivan? Said, we'd like to spend the night here. Is it all right? Said, sure. Spend the night. Said, we won't buy anything. Wasn't too long ago, he said, we'll be gone in the morning. We'll go out and get us a job. They didn't have a job, just husband and wife. And we'll be gone the next day, and we won't bother you. But you know what they didn't ask me? They didn't ask for any money. They didn't ask me to put them up in a motel. They didn't ask for any food. They just said, can we spend the night? I asked you this guy. I said, how long ago was that? He said, and he told me something, and I pray that it doesn't happen here because it has to do with our lesson. And that's a word of acceptance. Said, you know what? You're probably the only church in Tulsa that would allow us to park our van in the parking lot because the rest of the people would have called who? Called the cops. And why do we call the cops? I mean, here's an opportunity because I carry my Bible with me. And why do I carry my Bible with me? Because I never know the opportunity that I'm going to have that God's going to present me. To what? And I love it when I come into an apartment and before I leave, somebody says, hey, Ron, you going to read the Word? Hey, Ron, you going to pray? Man, I am encouraged big time when they say that. Because I want to be, as the song that we sang, I want to let my little shine. I want to let my light shine. And that's one of the opportunities. Because we know there'll never be a change in that heart unless Jesus is represented in that nasty, depressed, lonely, godless, lost heart. But Jesus will turn that. He'll change that. I love it when somebody says, whenever that pickup shows up in that apartment complex, that somebody, a 15-year-old kid, says, ministry is getting ready to happen. Amen. Man, how'd that take place? Ministry is getting ready to happen. When all of us show up and somebody says, ministry is getting ready to take place. Is that Jesus' acceptance of others? Said, well, I don't know whether I want to knock on that door or not. I don't know whether I want to. The other day, I'm knocking on the door. We're taking some food to a couple of ladies. Matter of fact, there's four ladies. One of them down there in that apartment. And I've known her too long, but she won't make that commitment. But I've got a great relationship with her. And I'll end up studying the Bible with her. But next week, I won't find her. But I'm still going to what? Knock on that door. So a gal up here, nobody come to the door. And I beat on that door because the gal that was with me knocked like this. I said, come on, I ain't teach you how to knock on a door. So there's a window over there, so guess what I hit? Shattered that place, and I hit that window. I want those people to know I'm there. Let's go. We got things to do. And so guess who stuck their head through those blinds? Three little children. And man, I love it when those children show up. And it wasn't long, somebody came to the door. It's 10:15 in the morning. Somebody showed up. They're in bed. That's all right. I'm going to wake them up. I don't want them to forget this old man. And I'm going to come back again. And so they wanted to come to the Christmas store. So we gave some food over here, gave some food here, gave some food down there, gave some food back here at that apartment. And that gal back there is 21 years old. Four kids. And I asked her, I said, hey, do you know what's causing this? And her nasty old man cares nothing about God. All he cares about himself. But you know why he's that way? Because nobody taught him how to love a woman. Nobody taught him how to be generous to this lady. Nobody taught him how to work. Nobody taught him how to have structure, self-discipline in his life. And it's hard to get him on the team if they're not coachable. Man, it's tough if they're not coachable, isn't it? But who's going to make them coachable? And so we're going to keep showing up. And she's got those four little kids. And they are precious. So I took two little dolls because I knew there's two little girls there. And I'm going to take them a couple little dolls. And they're all wrapped up and all tied up in that package. And they hand them back to me and said, Mr. Ron, would you open this? And I said, nah, your mom will, because mom needs to sit down. And I pray that she didn't scream at them just to open that package for those little dolls. I see all these packages back here. They're going to Southern Christian Home. That is fantastic. We've got a Christmas store going on at Contact right now. And we've had to change everything because we opened up the auditorium and it's a big store. But this time we've got them in the classroom, one shopper at a time. We'll give them 30, 40 minutes so they can shop. We already had 200 kids served last week. Start again tomorrow, Monday through Thursday, 200 kids last week. Man, that's a good news, because somebody like you, somebody at some churches, they'll bring all the gifts. Or they'll send a check. They'll write a check. And somebody gets to, and guess what we get to do? Now we get to go knock on their door. Great opportunities to share the message of Christ. Thanks for partnering with me and my bride as we serve the Lord in Tulsa, America. Acceptance. Let's pray, all right? God, thank you for this morning. And Father, with all the opportunities every day of a lot of people that don't know about you, a lot of people struggling, a lot of people have questions, but Father, we know where the answers are, and we know who has the answer. And God, help us to keep surrendering to you every day. Help us to love you more, and help us to show it by our example of faith and courage and love and compassion. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Remember the guy that wanted to park his van out there in the parking lot? He's raised 13 foster homes. 13. He was 8 years old. He lived out in the country, and he'd get him a stick of wood, put a string on it, put a hook down at the bottom of that thing, and put a piece of bacon on there. And he'd drop it down that creek, drop it down there, and as soon as it hit the bottom, he'd raise it up a little ways so those crawdads would grab a hold of there and pull those crawdads in, and he'd take those crawdads in the house and fry them to feed he and his sister. He said, Ron, that's how I was raised. My dad was in prison. He said, we'd go see my dad, and he'd tell me, he said, son, I love you, but I didn't know him. He said, I'd say I love you, but I didn't know him. And he died in prison. He said, I didn't have a dad. His mom is what we see in our text today of a prostitute. And the popo would show up, and they'd say, hey, is your mom here? And yeah, take her out there, and she's growing a marijuana patch. And they'd handcuff her, haul her to jail, haul her to prison. She's in and out all the time. And the revolving door of men coming in and out. And he ended up in foster care because his mom's in prison. And his dad's in prison. So he had to raise himself. He finally, over time, met a gal. They're married now. Finally married a gal. And she was dropped off at the hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma, when she was born. And they left her there. And she lived there for a long time, and finally she went into foster care. And then she went in another foster care, and another foster care, and she was in a half a dozen foster cares, and they end up in all kinds of addictions. But where do they go back to for their home? The folks who gave them a chance. Because God has given me how many chances? And I don't deserve them. Somebody said that a while ago. We don't deserve them. But God's love wants me to be what? He wants me to be saved. And he wants me to share with the gospel and the good news of others. Let's read our text. Because I notice on the bulletin, there's only about a block for you to take notes. So I'm not going to say much. We'll just put it on here. Let's read our text. We've got three characters in our lesson this morning. We've got Jesus, we've got Simon, the wonderful Pharisee, and we've got the harlot, the prostitute. Let me read the text. One of the Pharisees, okay, what is a Pharisee? Nothing but a hypocrite. Nothing but a scorner, a scoffer, nothing but hurting, and I can't believe that this guy's inviting Jesus over for dinner. Now, what's that about? Because we know later on, what does a Pharisee end up doing? Let me pause right there about a Pharisee. A couple of Pharisees, one of them by the name of Joseph of Arimathea, and the other one by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Why? He wanted to know what's going on. Now these guys are wealthy. They're a member of the what? Sanhedrin. These guys have some coins. They have it together. Now, back up a little bit. Many of you have laid your loved one down, picked your loved one up as they took their last breath. You held their hand, you did something. But during that time, when they died, how did you take care of them? You don't have to answer that, because I know how you took care of them. You know, in the situations that you guys have been in with your loved one when they died, how'd you do it? These guys, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, are taking Jesus down off the cross. How do you think they did it? Did they do it gentle? Were they gentle? As they drove those nails right in here, and he's up here like this, and they're going to take him down off the cross, or they're just going to get a crowbar or a stick of wood and pry his arm off of there, how are they going to do it? How would you do it? If you're going to take him off the cross, he's already dead, and I know what he means to you. How gentle will you be? How did they do it? I never read anywhere about where Nicodemus came to the Lord when he came to Jesus at night and met, "Must I enter my mother's womb a second time?" Here's the Pharisees. How did you treat your loved one? One of the Pharisees asked him over for a meal. He went to the Pharisee's house and sat down at the dinner table. Just then, a woman of the village, the town harlot, having learned that Jesus was a guest in the home of the Pharisees, came with a bottle of very expensive perfume and stood at his feet, weeping, raining tears on his feet. Now let me pause right there. You hold your finger at those spots and I'll pick back up. How did this harlot know that Jesus was there at that Pharisee's house? How'd she know it? What was the Pharisee thinking? And I guarantee you he's thinking negative about this woman that's there, because we can't allow her in the assembly. You know, hey, you need to sit somewhere else. Hey, you can come to the next service. We have a good news meeting every Tuesday morning. And people will show up and all they want to talk about is the negative. You know what we tell them? That's the next meeting. We go from 8 to 9 or 7 to 8. And said, this is a good news meeting. The negative takes the next meeting. Who's going to be there? Who's going to show up and say, all we're going to talk about is nasty? No, this is a good news meeting. Isn't that what Jesus brings? Here this lady shows up, letting down her hair. She dried his feet, kissed them, and anointed them with a perfume. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man was a prophet, I thought he was, he would have known what kind of woman this is who is falling all over him." And Jesus said to him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." Oh, can you hear the attitude? Can you hear the Pharisee saying that? Oh, I don't need any information from you, big boy. Tell me, two men were in debt to a banker. One who owed 500 pieces of silver, the other 50. 500 is 1 year's wages. 50 is 1 month's wages. Neither of them could pay up, and so the banker canceled both debts. Which of the two would be more grateful? Simon answered, I suppose the one who was forgiven the most. That's right, said Jesus. Then turning to the woman, but speaking to Simon, he said, you see this woman? I came to your home. You provided no water for my feet. She rained tears on my feet, dried them with her hair. You gave me no greeting. But from the time I arrived, she hasn't quit kissing my feet. You provided nothing for freshening up, but she has soothed my feet with perfume. Impressive, isn't it? She was forgiven many, many sins, and so she is very, very grateful. If the forgiveness is minimal, the gratitude is minimal. And he spoke to her, I forgive your sins. That set the dinner guest talking behind his back. You hear all the judges, all the judging that's going on right there? They're talking behind his back. Who does he think he is forgiving sins? He ignored them and said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now let's look at the bottom line of our outline. The grace of acceptance. Number one, the first judgment. Judgment is with the Lord. Don't forget that one. Judgment is with the Lord, not us. In Romans chapter 14, it says, who are you to judge? Number two, freedom to choose. Matter of preference, matter of conscience, it's a matter of choice. We get to choose. Number three, it helps us to focus on the essentials. That's a different word, isn't it? We haven't used that word very much until what showed up in March. Now we're talking about who's essential. Man, every soul is essential. Helps us to focus on the essentials and not the incidentals. How many times we spend our life on all the incidentals instead of what is essential with the kingdom of God? Of thinking souls, and I need to think too. I need to continue to think souls. And every time I go by that apartment and I'm praying that I get another opportunity. I get another opportunity with that heart. Another opportunity with that clown. As we go to the schools and now we can't get in. But it's going to turn around where they say, hey, won't you come and show up at the schools? Help us focus on the essentials. Kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, but of goodness. Man, I love that word. But of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen, church. Number two, the model that Jesus shared is that of love. First of all, pride paralyzes us. Is that true? How our pride paralyzes us. And pride is spelled E-G-O. Is that right? E-G-O. That spells ego. Because of my ego, then I'm paralyzed. Oh, I can't go over there. I can't do that. Somebody else can do it. How many people in here cannot read? How many people can read? I hang out with folks that can't read, but they can hear. And so what I get to do? I get to read. And I take my time, I'm slowing down, and I get my pride out of the way, I get my ego out of the way. If you spell ego straight down, E stands for edging, G is for God, O is for out. Because of my pride, I'm edging God instead of letting him operate in my life and show up and make a difference with the essentials. With the essentials. Number two, forgiveness releases us. Well, I'm not going to forgive them. They hurt me and they said, man, they cussed me. You know, they're talking about behind my back. But forgiveness what? Releases. I need to be a forgiving person instead of worrying about my ego and my pride. But allowing that forgiveness to take place. And third, faith saves. You know, I love that story. That gal that knew that she could go to that Pharisee's home, and not one time did we read in that text where that harlot said anything to the Pharisee. She came inside and went to work on who? Started washing his feet. She didn't back off because everybody knew her. Knew her track record, knew her life, knew where she had been that night before or that day, whatever the situation. That's why I love the story of Jose and Gomer. Because Gomer's standing there and he's bidding for his wife because the guys that are standing right beside him said, man, I was with her just 15 minutes ago and bidding for her soul. Because he's going to take her home knowing that she'd already been with how many men and how that kind of life she lived. And that's what Jesus does for me. And he's taken my life. And therefore, I get to share what Jesus has done for my stinking bones. Amen. Has he done that for you? I know he has. You wouldn't be here today being encouraged. Maybe we can pray with somebody today. If we can need to pray with you, we need to encourage you. Maybe you need to be baptized into Christ. You know, I baptized a couple of people down the way, and sometimes I didn't hold them down long enough. Somebody could have said that about me. But that's the grace of God, isn't it? That's how much He loves us. Praise God. Let's stand and sing.